We have groups from Washington, from New York, from Colombia. We have guests from China, from Australia, from throughout Europe, Germany, Russia. So if I could just briefly, so that we understand what an opportunity, what a fortune it is that we're all here together. His Holiness Radhana Swami has been practicing bhakti since he was just past his teenage years. So that's a life filled with bhakti practices. He is the disciple of a very renowned spiritual elder, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And of course, many of us have read the book, The Journey Home, which speaks about his journey. Radhana Swami also has a unique ability and opportunity to connect with many of the world's social leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders, and share with them these deep teachings and practices of bhakti. And those of us who have been here for more than a day have now experienced this new chapter unfolding here at the Govardhan Eco Village. For those who don't know, just 2 or 3 days ago, Govardhan Eco Village was honored with an international UN award for innovative ecotourism, which is a very, very big international award. And certainly, while Radhana Swami didn't plant every one of the bushes and didn't carve all of the arches, it's through his vision and his inspiration that this entire community has come. many of us will be going on Saturday for the Pushyabhishek, the big flower festival that happens in Mumbai, and we'll get to see another community that's an urban community that's been inspired by His Holiness Radhana Swami. So on behalf of the teachers, I'll just speak this last bit on behalf of Gopi and myself, Virabhadra and Dhyana, Bridge and Raghu. Who else should I include? Sham Sundari, Her Grace Padmaji, Vallabh Das, and Jenna, Vishrambar, myself. On behalf of all the teachers who have brought students here, it's really our heart prayer that we all understand what a magical and incredible moment we're experiencing now to be in the presence of someone like Radhana Swami in this beautiful holy place, Kostubha Prabhu, this beautiful holy place that has been handcrafted with love from the students of Radhana Swami to try and give an example to the world of bhakti and action. And for us to be together in this Sangha tonight to hear from His Holiness Radhana Swami is very special. I know for all the teachers that these moments that we get each year are for us the highlight of our entire year. And I know that's no exaggeration because I know all these other teachers. So if you consider that we've brought anything into your lives as our retreaters or friends, please know that for us, these moments that we're sharing now together really give us the recharge for our spiritual battery that lasts the entire year. So please listen very carefully to these words from Radhana Swami. And once again, please give a welcome to His Holiness Radhana Swami.
This is too high tech for me. He needs to help me. Om Akyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpa Atharubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Je Je Radhe Je Je Shyam Je Je Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Che Che Radhe Che Che Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham Cheche Sri Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I'm very honored and grateful to be with you this evening. Special gratitude to Padma Devi Sharon Gannon, who has descended from Woodstock, New York, to be with us today. and holy scriptures and poetry, song, art. There is much appreciation given to rivers. Like a magical blessing of God, the river flows. And the sound of the river can transport our consciousness beyond all the flickering agitations, anxieties, and stresses of the world. If we just tune in to the song of the river, just on the banks of the Yamuna River that we are sitting on is the Radha Damodar Temple. In honor of the One Supreme Father, Mother of all living beings, the origin of everything that exists, who we call Krishna, because he's supremely sweet, lovable, and attractive. The name Damodar comes from a particular lila, or pastime, when Krishna's a baby. He steals butter. Now we may think, how could God be a baby? Sarva yoni shukontaya murtiya samavantiya tasam brahma mahajoniraham bija pratapita. Krishna tells in Gita that I am the source of everything that exists. Every living being is born within this creation is born of material nature. That means nature is our mother, and I am the seed-giving father. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigra Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. That this Govinda, or the Lord, is the cause of everything that exists. Before creation of the entire cosmic manifestation, there was Govinda. After the annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation, there is Govinda. He's ever existing. He has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. And abhigya swarat. That means all-knowing and completely free. Swarat means independence. When Gandhiji created his movement to bring India from subjugation of the British, he called it swaraj, independence. Krishna is supremely swaraj. He could do anything. So that means if the older than the oldest wants to eternally be youthful, how many of you are looking forward to being old? Honestly. So if you are completely independent, would you like to be forever really old? Navayovanam cha. That means the Supreme Lord is eternally youthful. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashrashriya. Supremely beautiful. The origin of all beauty. And all the beautiful things and all the beautiful people and all the beautiful experiences that anybody could have It's just a little spark emanating from the beauty of the origin, or God, or Krishna. Like a sun ray is to the sun, all the beautiful, splendorous, attractive things that mesmerize our minds and our senses in this world are like a little spark emanating from the sun of Krishna. So how beautiful is Krishna? How sweet is Krishna? How lovable is Krishna? And by his free will, becomes a baby. It's not that he stops being the Supreme. He could do everything simultaneously. But just to exchange sweet pastimes with his devotees, he becomes a little child. In Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel, the essence of all the knowledge of all the Vedas, we read a particular section of Krishna crawling and then later learning how to walk. There's one pastime where it describes he's a little child, just 3 months old, and for the first time on his own, he turns over. And because in Vrindavan, everyone was so, it was such a beautiful thing, Krishna turned over. They had an incredible festival to celebrate. Whatever Krishna would do, there would be a beautiful festival because there was so much love. They didn't think of him as God. But the soul's love for God in its most intimate expression was offered to little baby Krishna. And when he actually learned how to walk, Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna babashani chabutani mam tu bedana kashchana. The same Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know every thought, every desire of every living being, and I never forget. Of all humanity, of all the insects and the birds and the animals and the trees and all the planets and all the universes, Krishna is within the heart of everyone. He doesn't need a computer to remember things. He's the source of all computers. So how is it that such a personality learns how to walk? Just to attract our hearts. Because the intimacy of love, just the all-powerful creator, when we know that that all-powerful creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all existence is crying because he's afraid of the lightning, and his mother comes to pacify him and he smiles. That's the beauty of Vrindavan. So when he was a child, he would steal butter from the neighboring gopis or the ladies of Vrindavan. But actually, they would milk their cows and they would churn their butter from dahi with only one thought. I have to put so much love and so much devotion and put my heart and soul into making this so nice that Krishna will come and steal it. And he did. And if our hearts become very soft and very sweet through bhakti, through devotion, through humility, through seva, service, then Krishna will steal our hearts. We can offer our hearts 100 million times, but our hearts never really experience real satisfaction until Krishna steals. How is this done? Where our heart becomes such a clean, soft, fertile place where the lotus flower of love grows and blossoms and spreads its fragrance everywhere. We learn from great personalities of the present and of the past. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. We cannot imitate saintly people, because saintly people never try to imitate saintly people. But we try to emulate the principles that they live by, the values that they hold sacred in their lives. One such personality was Bhaktivinod Thakur. He lived in this world in Bengal in the latter part of the 19th century and early part of 20th century. He was a family man. His wife, Bhagavati, was equal to him in every way. He wrote dozens of books, thousands of songs and poems, just expressing his heart. And in those beautiful expressions, the essence of all the knowledge of all the scriptures of all the universes were contained. I would like to cite just two lines from a particular song. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mo arpilun tuao pade nandakishor. Maro birago bi jo icha toha nitya dasa prati tua adhikar. He's praying to Nandakishore, a name of our beloved Lord. My body, my mind, my home and my family, all of my skills, all of my influence, everything, Krishna, it is all your property. Sharanagati. Surrender is a very, very deep concept. One time someone came to my guru, Srila Prabhupada, and really wanted to impress him. He said, Guruji, I want to surrender everything to Krishna. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, everything already belongs to Krishna. What do you have to surrender? He was asking him a question. And the person was very stunned. He was speechless. He said, if everything belongs to Krishna, what do you have to surrender? And the person was silent. And Prabhupada smiled and said, the only thing that you have to surrender is the false ego of thinking that you have something to surrender. So Bhaktivinod Thakur is saying, everything is yours, Krishna. That is surrender. To let go of the ahankar, the false ego, that this is my intelligence, this is my property, this is my family, this is my abilities, this is my knowledge, this is my influence over others. If everything belongs to you, my beloved, then I use everything as a caretaker of the true proprietor. If every living being is your children, my Lord, how can I love you without respecting, honoring, and serving every living being? And in the next part of this
beautiful poem that I recited, he explains what is the effect that this consciousness, that everything is yours, my Lord. Marubi rago bijo icha tohar. We become fearless. Because what do we have to fear? We only fear because we think something's going to be taken away. We're thinking my health will be taken away, or my life will be taken away, or my limbs will be taken away, or my loved ones will be taken away, or my money will be taken away. My youth will be taken away. My beauty will be taken away. Do you know why we fear it? Because it all will be taken away. But there's good reason to fear if we think it's ours. By the power of time, everything is taken away. Krishna revealed the Virat Rupa, an incredible image of time in the Bhagavad Gita that takes everything away. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Krishna, this body's yours, this mind is yours, all my skills and property and my knowledge, everything is yours. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can protect me. You can do anything you like with me because I'm your eternal servant. I'm yours. Like the river, his heart's love is always flowing in the loving service of the Supreme Beloved. That's our nature. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in many of his songs, he prays for the mercy of Janava and Nityananda. They're a husband and wife. I'd like to briefly tell a couple stories. We'll see how much time it takes, because Janava Devi, she was such a divine, saintly person. After her husband, Nityananda, disappeared from this mortal world, by her qualities, her devotion, her intoxicated state of love of God, and how it manifested as pure compassion for all beings, she became the most revered leader of our whole spiritual community. One time she was traveling with a group of her students. And in those days in India, this is over 500 years ago, there were no buses or airplanes. There was not even an Indian railway system. You just walked. Wherever you wanted to go, you walked. So nice. So she was walking, and they were going village to village, town to town, on their way to Vrindavan, actually, on a pilgrimage. And just the illumination of her heart's compassion to others, people honored her so nicely. And like every spiritual path in this world, after some time, there's various denominations. And among denominations, they become kind of like separate religions, and then they become sectarianism, and then there's conflict. I think we all have that experience. So where there was, she was teaching love for Radha Krishna. And she was teaching Harinam Sankirtan. How we can awaken this love for Radha Krishna within our hearts through the chanting of these beautiful mantras and the names of God. She was way beyond and above sectarian concepts. She saw God in everyone's heart. She could feel her love for Krishna in every aspect of God. But there were some priests and some followers of those priests. They worshiped Durga. And they considered her a deviant. They decided when she was sleeping the next night, they would attack with their swords and their knives and their spades. They would mutilate her and murder her. Janava knew this was going to happen. But she didn't leave. She just prayed. She prayed for their souls to be uplifted and purified from these conceptions, and that love of God would be given to them. So that night, before they went to kill her, they did a special puja to Durga. They offered all sorts of things. Now they were empowered by their goddess to kill. They decided, let us rest a little, and then in the middle of the night, when everyone there is sleeping, we will go. That night, Durga personally appeared in a dream of every single one of them, the priests and the dacoits, the killers. This is a scary story. She was angry, like fire. Her eyes were like red coals of rage, and she looked at each of one of them, because she was just alone with each one of them in the dream. And here was this, the supreme power of universal creation, glowering at them with anger, with weapons raised. And she said, I am so furious. You call yourself my devotee. Today I will destroy you. And she roared. They were trembling and shaking. Goddess, we've given our hearts, our lives, everything to you. Please be merciful, save us. She said, today you will be destroyed. And they said, why? You want to cause harm to Janava Devi? Her heart is completely pure. She's forgiving, she's compassionate, she's praying for you with love. Even I worship the feet of such a devotee as Janava Devi. Are you thinking that the gods are at odds with each other? There's one God, one supreme. If you cannot see and appreciate the love of Janava for Krishna, then you hate me. Now I will destroy you. And all these dacoits and priests, they're all in their beds and they're chinking and they think it's happening to them only. Then she stopped, Durga, and said, if you go to Janava Devi and apologize and seek her blessings, I will spare you. But if you do not, I will be back. Early the next morning at sunrise, these people, they didn't like come together. They all kind of snuck away from the others because they didn't want to be traitors. They all snuck away to Janava to beg her forgiveness. And they all appeared from different directions at the exact same time. And Janava Devi, who is the universal mother, the source of Durga, she smiled upon them. She said, "There's nothing for me to forgive you. Whatever has happened, just chant the names of Krishna, chant the names of God, and serve each other. And give up this envy." The most degrading quality of human psychology is envy. When we're envious, we're arrogant, and all other bad qualities naturally manifest. So she said, just give up your envy. Be kind to everyone. And you could do this by just purifying your heart by chanting the names of Krishna. They all became completely liberated, perfect, gentle, humble, saintly people. And Janava Devi did not take any credit for anything. She didn't want to get something by enlightening people. She just wanted to give. In another place in their travels, when they were just outside a village called Ekachakra, there was a person who was completely rejected by the society and community around because he was an alcoholic. And he was really wild. When he was intoxicated with these, usually they boil rice water and then they ferment it and it becomes alcohol. That's how they used to do it in those days. And he was behaving so outrageously. He was all alone, and he was just screaming and yelling and obscenities, and it was just terrible. No one wanted to go near him. You just didn't know what he was going to do. So even the devotees who were with Janava were like, it's kind of walking on the other side. And Janava walked up to him and put her hand on his head and said, "Do you not understand who you are? You're a child. You're a child of Krishna. Within your heart is love for Krishna. The nature of the soul, it is Satchit Ananda. It is eternal. It is full of knowledge and it is full of joy. Now you're suffering so bad. Why have you forgotten the real treasure of your own heart? Wake up, Jeev Jaga, wake up to your true nature. Chant God's names, wake up." Even though this person was so disconnected from his own soul and his own heart, it's not just the message, it's the messenger. She saw that potential within him. She appreciated, she loved that potential within him. He was obviously thinking, because of my abominable words, my abominable actions, my complete filthiness and everything that my life stands for, nobody sees anything good about me. But here is this lady who sees me as somebody who's really beautiful, who's wonderful. She loves me. She loves me. She sees a soul in me that loves Krishna. She sees a soul in me that can make the world a happy place. If she sees it, then I have to believe that it's there. So yes, I will chant God's names. And he cried. And he gave up his intoxication because Janava promised him, I will give you an intoxication millions of times better than your fermented rice water. I will give you Ananda, the intoxication of the sweetness of ecstatic love for God. Just believe me, it's in you. Awaken it. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And he did. And soon the pure, sweet water of his love, his prem, flowed like a river without cessation in the loving service of the Lord. And the Lord, who is aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samangvata, who is the root of everything that exists. When that love touches Krishna, then naturally that love extends to everything connected to Krishna. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnam Udachyate. That means all living beings. We may not like what people do, but Janava Devi, she didn't like that. She didn't like the envy in those people. But she loved the person who was inflicted by the disease of envy. She didn't like the state of stupor and ignorance and impoliteness and violence of this person who was always intoxicated. But she loved the soul within the heart of the person who was in that diseased state. And that is called satsang. The most valuable thing we have in this world is associating with people who actually see the spiritual potential within us, who make us actually believe that we are divine beings. We are Satchit Ananda. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satchikapu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Koriyayodvai. This was Sri Chaitanya's message, that love for Krishna, prema, ahoitakiya pratihata, anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navitam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktarutama. This pure ecstatic love for Krishna that has no taint of selfishness or envy, that is expressed through true compassion to all beings, it's within the hearts of everyone. Saintly people see that in us and help us to believe that it's there. I don't know where, but it's there. And by associating with such people and performing our spiritual practice with sincerity and faith and chanting these beautiful names of the Lord, that love is awakened. And the most beautiful gift that we receive when that love is awakened is we have more power to help awaken that love in others and make people happy. Just yesterday I was looking at the fish in our Yamuna River and they looked so happy. They looked like they were playing together, so many games. And I was just thinking of my guru and thinking of all these great saints like Janava Devi. And I just started crying with affection for these fish. And it felt better than winning a lottery of $10 million. Just crying in happiness looking at fish. It's a little more difficult doing that with people because they're more complicated. But that is the potential within all of us. In Vrindavan, we bathe in the Yamuna River because it's a river of grace. The flow of the river is grace, prem in liquid form. We're associating with the goddess Yamuna. We're associating with the feminine potency of the Lord if we bathe with faith. And just by that association, we become so cleansed. Sri Chaitanya said, the Ganga, the Yamuna, just by hearing the word with faith, by hearing the sound of the current, by seeing, by touching the water, by drinking the water, by seeing the fish in the water, we're associating with that source of grace. And we become cleansed, awakened. And to share these ideas with each other is the most beautiful gift that we all have. Thank you very much. Now we will be having the Yamuna Aarti. Please, everyone stay. It's very sweet. We sing together a prayer that is named Yamuna Astakam by Srila Rupa Goswami. And across the river is a little temple for Yamuna Devi. And in that temple is a beautiful painting of Yamuna.